We will be continuing our studies in Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 5. We are told that many of the people living in that region came to see John the Baptist. These people made a break with their past and they were changed by the power of God. Someone has estimated that as many as 300,000 people may have been baptized by John and his disciples. Here's the point. These people traveled some 20 miles on foot. When they arrived where John was, he treated them like they were Gentiles. It must have shaken them to their core. Here was the preacher telling them that they were no better than the Gentiles. When they were confronted with their sins, they saw their sins and they repented of them. Have you ever been confronted with your sins? Have you ever saw your sin, how wicked that it is? And have you repented? These people came to John the Baptist, they heard the message, they repented of their sins, they were baptized, and God forgave them. John just preached the word of God, and God honored his word. God honored his word. He will always honor his word. People responded to the preaching of John the Baptist, and they came to him confessing their sins and turning away from their sinful lifestyles. Of course, not everybody was happy with John's ministry. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to see what the commotion was all about. They came to criticize John and his message. When he saw them coming, he rebuked them for their hypocrisy, and he called on them to repent. Let us look at Matthew 3, verses 7 through 10. Matthew 3, verses 7 through 10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" That would cause quite a stir in the church today if a preacher said that to them. "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. How many today say to themselves, 'We have our parents, they're believers. We have our religion, so therefore we're justified with God. Therefore we do good works, so God certainly must be pleased with us. Certainly he will accept our good works. Therefore, bear fruits that are worthy of repentance.'" Realize this, that we are living in hard times today spiritually. There's a trend towards seeker-friendly, feel-good religion. Preachers who call sin what it is and who call people to repent are getting fewer by the day. But we are still operating in a time when God will bless his word. If his word is preached as it is written, not the way that you suppose it's written, your feelings about what is written, but if his word is preached as it is written, God will honor that word. In Isaiah 55:11, it tells us, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it." People still need to be told their sins today. People still need to be confronted with the need for genuine repentance. People still need to be shaken from time to time. So don't despair. Don't despair in the message. Don't worry when people call you old-fashioned and out of step. Let them make fun of our preaching, our singing, our shouting, our worship. God still meets with us, and that is all that really matters, isn't it? Every now and then, he will pass by and bring with him the fragrance of glory. Every now and then, he'll speak to some lost soul, and they will come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Every so often, God will call some wayward saint to come home to Jesus. God is still working. He's not asleep. He's still honoring the word. Therefore, we need to stay the course and to carry on for his glory until he comes. In verse 6 of Mark, we say this about John's, the way that John dressed. In verse 6, it tells us in Mark 1, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John did not wear the fine robes that adorned the bodies of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't look the look of religion. He didn't have all his gear on. He did not gravitate towards the finer things in life. He was content with what God had given him. His clothing was as rough as his message was. He was a man of the desert. He spent time alone with God. He dressed like a man of the desert. He was out of step with the world around him. His food, he shunned the fine foods of the palace and favored the foods of the desert dweller. He got his honey out of the rocks and lived on such things as he could trust the Lord to provide. He was a common man who did not seek after the allurements and the attractions of this world. John was a different man, than his times. John's manner was as unusual as his message. John the Baptist was an odd man. Today, if you preach repentance, you will think, the people will think you have an unusual message, that you're an odd man. Imagine how this man must have appeared to the people who saw him. He was a Nazarite. That means that his hair and his beard had never been trimmed. Nazarites often carried their beards in sacks around their waist to avoid stepping on it. Their hair was braided into 7 braids and hung down their backs, touching the ground. The question is, how would we react if John came to preach in our church? Today, the man must be fine-looking. He must look like a politician. He must have his suit on, his hair combed, his face all trimmed up, looking all beautiful, looking like a movie star. How would we respond if a John the Baptist showed up in our churches today? He stepped out of the wilderness dressed in the rough garments of a prophet. He came to the people of Israel with the same spirit of confrontation that dwelt in Elijah 500 years earlier. He came preaching with power. In fact, John was so unusual that he was never invited to preach in the temple and the synagogue. The people did not want to hear it. They were content in their religion. They had no use for a man like him. They did not want to be confronted, as many today. Many today will hear this message and turn it off. They did not want their little apple cart to be upset. Am I speaking to you? They had made it, and they did not want some weirdo to destroy the little religious empire that they had constructed. John came with a strange appearance. He came with a strong message. He was out of step with his times, but God was with him. And the question is today, is God with you? Is God with your message, preacher? God used John the Baptist in an amazing way to carry out a powerful ministry. It wasn't about techniques and manipulations and doing your demographic researches. He carried out a powerful message. If John teaches us anything today, he teaches us the truth that we do not have to fit in with this world and the methods of this world. The church has adopted the methods of this world. John teaches us that it's all right to be different. We can dress different. We can talk different. We can live different. It does not mean that we are weird. It simply means that we have a desire to walk with the Lord and honor him. It's all right if you don't live as the world lives. It's all right if you do not do the things that the world does. It is all right for you to be different. It is all right if you go to your marriage bed a virgin. It is all right if you go to church 3 times a week. Pay your tithes and offerings. Go to Bible studies. Go to prayer meetings and live like a saint. It is all right if you shout, if you pray, and if you witness. It's all right to be different if Jesus has made you different. And if he has saved your souls, it is all right to be different. God has done a mighty work in our lives. Realize what John 3 3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You've been born again, brother. You've been born again, sister. You don't have to live like the world. Christ told the religious person of his day in John 3 and verse 7, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Your religion will not save you." We shouldn't allow the world to force us into its mold. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, what does it say? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable service." It's your reasonable service. This is not crazy. Romans 12, 2, "And do not be conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that for this purpose that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We should yield ourselves to the Lord, separate ourselves from this world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 tells us, "Therefore, for this purpose, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." We're to allow God to mold us into his image. We're to never be ashamed of who we are and never be ashamed of who we no longer are. "Behold, all things have become new." You're a new creation, brother. In Mark 7 and 8, Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we see, "And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." We see the message of a humble servant in verse 7. John the Baptist was a bold preacher. He thundered out against sin and called for people to repent. But when he began to talk about Jesus Christ, John became a very humble preacher. He tells the people who heard him preach that compared to Jesus Christ, he was a nobody. Brothers and sisters, we're nobody compared to Jesus Christ. He tells them that he isn't even worthy to do the job of the lowest household slave. John says, "I am nothing, but he is everything." John says, "I didn't come to call people to myself. I came to point people to Jesus Christ." That is a humility that is lacking in these days. This highlights one of the reasons why people refuse to deal with their sins. People often compare themselves to the wrong standard. If you look around, you can always find someone who lives worse than you do. You can hold them up and say, "Compared to that person, I don't look too bad." That may be true. But if you honestly compare your life to Jesus Christ, you would see how wicked that you really are. The people were flocking to John. He had the ear of the nation. He had the people eating out of his hand. But when John saw Jesus, John saw how needy that John was. When John saw Jesus, he saw that John was nothing and that Jesus Christ was everything. That is why John was willing to step aside so that Jesus Christ might shine. That is why John magnified Jesus. He knew that if people could just see Jesus, they would see themselves as they really were. If they saw themselves as they really were, they would see their need of Jesus Christ. They would want him to be their Savior and their Lord. So John pointed men to Jesus Christ. And are you pointing people to Jesus Christ today? Or are you pointing them to yourself? Are you pointing them to your religion? Are you pointing them to your denomination? That's the message that people need in this day. If people could ever see Jesus Christ, whether they were saved or lost, they would have a desire to humble themselves before him. They would willingly bow to him in salvation, surrender, and service. John also told them that when Jesus came, he would do a spiritual work in their hearts. You see, John was using a material element, water, to baptize their bodies. But Jesus Christ would use a spiritual element, the Holy Spirit, to baptize their souls. John was taking them and placing them under the water in a symbol of their repentance. Jesus would take them and he would wash their sins away in his blood and he would give them new life. John was not calling people to religion. They had enough of that. John the Baptist was pointing people to a Savior who could save their souls, forgive their sins, and change their lives. By that way and that way only, Jesus Christ can still do those things today. All that come to him by faith will be saved, changed, and forgiven. And it is as easy as repenting and believing. The message John the Baptist preached was an unusual message. He did not preach to gain the favor of men. That's a great problem today. The love of the approval of men, the fear of men. People today do not preach because they're trying to gain the favor of men. He did not preach to grow a great ministry. Ministry today is lifted up as if it's a business and they're trying to make preachers CEOs. A preacher is to preach. It's not to care about a great ministry. He did not preach to attract the crowd. He preached a simple message about a wonderful, beautiful Savior named Jesus Christ. He preached a simple message about the need for people to deal honestly with their sins. He preached a message that those people needed to hear, and he preached a message that we need to hear as well. Has the Lord spoken to you through this message? Do you sense the need to come to Jesus Christ to be saved? Do you feel that you need to repent today? If so, you can. If you will come to him and repent of your sins and call on him by faith, he will save your soul, forgive your sins, and he will change your life. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord and you're not as close to him as you once were. You can come home. You can come home. Maybe you have become self-conscious about the way that you've been taught. Maybe you're hearing one crying out in the wilderness to the modern church, calling you away today to the old paths. The old paths. If you need to come and get some things settled with God, you can do that. Whatever it is that you may need today, you can come and you will be met by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will save your soul. And Jesus Christ will restore you. And Jesus Christ will bring you back into fellowship with him.